Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Live from the Red Lion, recorded in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Live from the Red Lion is a Jarnair Networks production, brought to you by In the Points, Season 3.
If my episode is just, if you could just cut out all my talking and just replace me with Hamilton and prequel sound bites,
oh yeah,
I will retweet the fuck out of this.
Alexander Hamilton.
I will be the most powerful Jedi ever.
My name is Alexander Hamilton. There's a million things I haven't done. Just you wait. Just you wait.
It's all Obi-Wan's fault. He's jealous. He's holding me back. Back.
And we're live. We're back.
Back.
And we're in the points. And we're live.
We're live.
We're back.
And we're back.
And we're in the points. And we're live.
We're live.
Pour that beer right over the mixing board. That's a good idea. May I have some regular mushrooms? Thanks so much.
Live from the Red Lion!
Hey, and we're back.
Yo.
Hey.
And we're going.
Yeah, we're here live from the Red Lion.
Start with the cold open. As always, give a just shout out to the Red Lion. Thanks for supporting us. We got our guests over
shout
here texting. We got the shots on the paddle.
I never do the paddle.
Yeah, I don't think I've done the paddle either.
Is that because you never ordered four at a time? Is it like a?
I don't. I think it's just like a. It's cute and it's sticky.
Cheers, mate. It's sticky, ain't it?
And it's a way to. It's also like if once we're done with the shots, if one of you guys gets out of line, I can do a little spanking.
Yeah, man.
We can do a little BDSM here. The Red Lion. It's very.
That's actually where that door goes back to, the spanking chamber.
I would imagine. It's very in keeping with the German theme.
We also switched up the shot this time. Usually we get the Coomer Lane because we're cheap. We get the shot. But and we started with Killer Pitch.
Killer Pitch! Killer.
We moved on to Coomer Lane.
Are Coomer Lane's cheap?
I think it's $3 here.
Like, yeah,
oh, wow.
Like
is it $3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not taking an Uber, so.
Yeah.
Also, it offsets the cost. But it's only 35%, too, so you're not really getting that full...
Coomerling is? I thought it was like 20 or something. It's like a digestif,
right?
Yeah. And you have to untwist the cap and it leads to a lot of spills.
It's cute though. It's like something to do after. It's supposed to be a digestif, I believe. I think it's something to do after you eat.
After you eat,
yeah, is the idea.
So what do we got here? What's
this
the shot?
The opposite, which I believe is the apple pear.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's
should
do
we
it, yeah.
distribute the shots?
Unless we all want to stand one by one and do it Shotsky style.
No, we're gonna do the shots together. And then you introduce the guests after, or how do you guys, what kind of Mickey Mouse operation are you guys running here?
I'm
talking and nobody knows who I am. Okay.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
All right.
Thank you.
Beer coming.
We're podcasting at the Red Lion, you guys.
Yeah.
I do a lot of those things. I do a lot of Red Lion and I do a lot of podcasting, but I've never done them simultaneously.
How does it feel?
I haven't had a shot yet. It's too much. I don't know.
I guess we should just do it then.
All right.
Pros.
The pros.
With my half Judaism, L'chaim.
L'chaim, I was going to say it. You beat me to it.
That's nice.
It's pretty good.
What do you guys think?
Solid.
This, you know what? One thing this place did for me was taught me about schnapps.
Yeah.
In my mind, schnapps were like puckers. It was like peppermint schnapps or apple schnapps. It was like these syrupy kind of cordial things that you'd steal from your parents in high school and have a really rough time throwing up.
Yeah.
And I learned from this place that schnapps are not, it's hard alcohol.
Yeah.
It's not sweet. It's not syrupy. It's just fruit. It's booze. It's fermented from fruit rather than grain. And at least that's my, I haven't looked that up. Yeah. That's my.
It can get pretty hardcore. Like have you had the Slivovitz here?
I don't know. Is that the cherry one is like,
it's like
45,
good,
it's like 45% alcohol or something. It's like 90 proof. They have what's the Hungarian thing they have here, and it's got like a really funny name. Like
there's one called
with a ho in it or something.
Oh, gosh, I can't recall that one, but I just remember the other one's whack.
Oh, language with the goshes already.
Yeah,
I just started, dude.
Oh yeah, for the record, you can say whatever the fuck you want on it.
Okay,
gosh.
Are you sure?
Heart of gosh.
Gee willikers, I don't want to offend anybody.
But yeah, there were a few nights I was coming here and I was just kind of getting the tips from the bartenders. I was like, I'm kind of tired of just getting the same old beers. Give me the schnapps. And They got some good wrecks here, and, you know, give it up to the Red Lion.
Some good wrecks. That's your Gentile side saying that. That's, you got a wreck on a res at a nice restaurant in West Hollywood.
Yeah.
So our you were asking for the
I wasn't
intro.
Asking for it. I was more marveling
expecting.
At the lack thereof.
Yeah, we're at the Red Lion, which is a bar in Silver Lake, which is in California, which is in the United States, which is on planet Earth, which is in the Milky Way galaxy.
A medium-sized galaxy and a cluster of medium-sized galaxies.
Galaxy.
Might have to add that on. Yeah.
Intro of who our guest is.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know if he knows. I'm not sure. We just met. I don't know if he knows my name. You gave it to the one guy who doesn't know.
No, I know. A very funny stand-up comedian. You've probably seen him on Doug Loves Movies and as well as other places. I think we'll get into it, but writing also on a new show. I don't know if you can talk about that or not.
Sure, I can talk about
it. But yeah, Jacob Siroff.
Who the fuck is that guy? You know damn well who I am.
Jacob Siroff, that's me. I'm the guest.
It's me. Really me, not a look-alike. I know some sound alike, but when I'm around a mic, niggas cut. You know the skit, Del Ultimate Rapper International with that rational style. I get the shit off my consciousness and pull out the compasses. I'm on some shit you ain't around in the town, clown.
The thing I should say that I never asked, you guys hit me up on Twitter.
Yes.
And asked me to do the podcast.
Yes.
And I guess you'd seen me in here before.
Yeah.
Recognized me from my famous... I have a very famous podcast face.
Very famous podcast. Well, actually, I was going to say, you actually were... I did hear you from Doug Loves Movies. And
yeah, that's great.
I thought you were like a good guest, so I... One of the few people who I've actually...
Some
like,
would say a great guest, but...
Yeah, a good, great whatever. Guest. Mm-hmm. One of the few people I've actually Googled from here and not a podcast.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, I think that was like Jacob Siroff sitting over there. And then creepily messaged you on Twitter.
Wasn't creepy at all. It's very flattering, and I'm glad we're here. All
right, sounds good.
Because I would be drinking here not on my own tab if not for you guys. So thanks.
Yeah.
So do we want to start out how we usually go into it?
Yeah, let's do the first question.
We like to get deep up top.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to... Let's hit the ground running.
I'm going to ask a question that your listeners are going to hate me, but I need to do this before because we could be here for a little while.
Okay. Yes. The pre-first question.
Tell me all your names again, please.
Yeah, no problem. I'm Mike.
Oh, Jake.
Yeah, Jake kind of left out the intro.
I know Jake. I know Jake.
I fucked up. I usually introduce everyone, so
okay.
You would have heard it.
From the top, Jake.
Yeah, so.
As we say in the business.
Jacob Siroff, that was him just talking.
And by the way, you're sitting in Jake's normal. Jacob is sitting in Jake's normal
but,
seat.
But for the record, we're totally cool with it.
And it switched up a couple times recently.
Yeah, we.
In season three. This is season three of the podcast.
I told y'all so. ITP season 1.
Did I told you get on?
ITP season
2. And you still ain't believe me. So here we go.
ITP season 3.
Talk to me.
Season 3. ITP. Season 3. ITP season 3.
This is season 3.
I actually, whenever I sit over here, I have like a deep voice. So when I'm over there, I have
the high voice. So
really?
Nice to get the listener. No, I'm
I get it. Well, okay. I believed you. I have a neurotic thing that I was telling.
Yeah. We share it. That's why we're on this side.
I can't have my back.
Will
people.
Is my name.
You know what? So, okay. Well. Yeah, and I feel like...
I want first and last names.
Actually. And for me, like, I personally don't like facing the crowd because I'm like, who's judging me for doing a podcast at the Red Lion right now? Just looking away.
See, I feel the same way, but I want to see the people that are judging me.
Right.
So they can't be... What if they're making, like, really animated
you're
faces
just like,
in,
fuck
in
you.
Their judgment? Yeah. So I want full names. Full
okay.
Names. Jake.
Yeah.
Jake.
Jake Slezinski.
Jake. Yeah. Jake.
Jake Slezinski.
Jake. Yeah. Jake.
Jake Slezinski.
Jake. Yeah. Jake.
Jake Slezinski.
Jake. Yeah. Jake.
Jake Slezinski.
Jake Slezinski. You are Polish.
AKA at Great White Snake on Twitter.
On Twitter.
Okay. Consider yourself followed.
Yeah. Will Hagel over here at Willie the Squid on Twitter.
German.
Hagel. With an adopted dad.
Okay. Gross.
You adopted your dad?
That's disgusting. biological parenthood is bad enough.
Also, Mike Seiler over here.
Yeah.
Across the way.
Mike, Will, Jake. That's easy. Mike, Will, Jake. That's easy.
Mike, Will, Jake. That's easy.
Jake. Okay, I apologize, but in my defense, and you guys can vouch for me, we really don't know each other.
It's good to learn all this down. Set the groundwork going, you know, really get to know each other from the beginning.
Okay, and I'm going to ask this another question. Because we don't have earphones, I don't know if your fans, your listeners know that. Imagine there could be some overlap in the talking. Is that something you guys have to, is that a problem for you guys in editing? Or
it's usually rarely just shouting over each other and then apologizing.
The it's like Passover. Filter fish. Filter finish. Test.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love to have headphones. I think
our official bank account overdraft by like 5 cents.
We don't have this money.
Headphones aren't that expensive. You don't have to go out and buy Beats or anything, guys. You can get like we could literally plug our earbuds in.
If we don't have Beats, what are we going to post on Instagram, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. I won't be seen in public with all my Beats.
You're a Beats guy?
No.
I don't know. You look very hip hop.
When it comes to image, I think all my Instagram fans would like to see me in Beats, you know? They'd be like, "Damn, this guy's legit." But
well, I can't speak for your other Instagram fan, but as one of them, I know I would like to see that.
Hey, so sponsor us. Go to our page, buy a few t-shirts so that I can look like I know what I'm talking about with music.
So there was going to be a first question.
We were interrupted by four questions, but that was good.
If there's one thing we do on this podcast, it's interrupt.
Yeah. We're starting now.
So we kind of started off a little deep. I don't know if, Mike, you want to?
Will,
I'll take
Mike,
it.
Jake. Yeah.
Exactly. We're hitting the ground running. It's what do you think of the weather today?
I feel like the weather here. Okay, I just got back from a month in New York.
I'm walking here.
So all the weather seems nice comparatively.
Yeah.
But sorry, that's my alarm to call my children. I just need to ignore that. not joking. The weather today, I think we topped out at around 73 degrees, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, I spent a lot of the day indoors depressed.
But I stay inside, and I swear I'll be just fine.
All right, so I didn't really experience it, but I got up at like 5:30, drove my kids to school, then came back home and had all the stuff I was going to do, work and otherwise, and ended up just like looking at Instagram and listening to Hamilton all day.
Okay.
Yeah. And I jerked off a couple times.
Okay.
So
a couple times.
It was great jerking off weather, I guess is my answer to that question. It's great stay in and jerk off weather.
But I stay inside and I swear I'll be just fine.
Yeah.
What do you keep it indoors when you're staying inside, temperature wise? Keep it a little warm, a little cold?
Oh, I don't adjust.
You just let it.
I let it room temp. I'm a room temp guy.
All right.
Wherever the climate takes me.
Cool.
You got the AC going?
Have AC, but they're external units and they're very loud and. Thankfully, weren't necessary today. Definitely wasn't, no need for heating or anything like that. So, I would say it was probably a good 75, 76 in my apartment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because it's like, getting to know you, having a drink at the bar, I got to go into the interview style question.
Sure, but please. I love that.
I'm
my favorite subject.
Yeah. were you doing... We tried to do this podcast before, and you said you had some sort of writing gig. Was that what you were doing in New York,
different? Well, I've been doing stand-up for almost 15 years now,
uh-huh.
And I've been in Los Angeles for just about 10 years. In May, it'll be 10 years, and which is next month. And I've been trying to get a real writing job for most of that 10 years, and I just finally got one, and then I got another one right on the heels of that.
Oh, damn, congrats.
It sounds great, except now I'm... In between, now they're both over, and I'm back to just sitting around jerking off in my apartment in a nice 76 degree climate.
Sure.
So, we made a plan to do one a few months ago, I think in January, and I got hired on Moshe Kasher's show, Problematic.
Islamophobia, ISIS,
9/11,
terrorism,
immigrants.
You know what the fuck Sharia law is?
Bigotry.
All right.
Hate crimes.
Racism.
Penal.
Now we're talking.
We're all scared.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Show that just, one episode is there, and the second
I need to watch that.
It's great.
I want to see
it's
that.
It's great.
So I like the premise of that show, but
what would you say the premise is? I'm curious to know.
Just from hearing it promoted and things like that, it seems like it takes like the idea of a podcast where they go more in depth into talking about issues. But
okay,
haven't seen it.
That's
I
a cool.
Seen
no, I wonder what people would think just from the marketing and That's very interesting to hear. I think the concept should the way I describe it to people is hipster Donahue.
Okay.
Maybe Donahue's a dated reference, but
because he goes in the audience. And
yeah,
like,
but
right?
that's the idea is to like do an updated comedic kind of Sally Jesse Raphael, Donahue, Oprah in her heyday, where you have a a topic, a relevant topic, and panelists and
comedians. Is it multiple panelists or is it one?
Yes, multiple panelists. Although, okay. You know, to be honest, I mean, when we were writing the show, it was really, we were writing a show that didn't exist yet, so that was all kind of up in the air. And I left before production started because just the way my contract was structured, I was there for the time I was there, and
yeah,
when I left, they were still, you know, in pre-production. So,
Do you write when you're? I don't know if you can talk about it, but when you write on a show like that, do you write like segments where they're talking about the topic, or is it writing jokes for the guests, or is it?
Well, it's all the above. You know, it's creating the segments and pitching the segments, and then writing monologue jokes, and he has kind of like a Jerry Springer kind of wrap-up moment.
Oh, this is going to be great.
And so we would write jokes for that, but mostly he would handle that himself, Moshe, that is. But again, that was my first, like, I'm a stand-up vet, and I've been wanting to get into the, you know, that writing thing for a long time because I like sleeping in my own bed, and I like a paycheck every week. So that was really my first gig, and, obviously I owe a lot of that to Moshe, who's an old friend of mine. Uh-huh. And so I don't know that I'm in a position of, you know, to say how it normally goes on shows like that or on television writing gigs, but it was what was the question again?
I don't think there was a real question.
I'm not sure there was a question. I have a question though.
Okay, I want to hear.
Okay, so you so you said you were pretty good friends with Moshe from back. It feels like the Bay Area is pretty tight, at least from like.
Funny that you say that. Yeah, I started stand up in 2003, and we had a really strong group of people that started together.
Okay.
And I just thought that's how it always went. This was in San Francisco, and I didn't really realize it, you know, until I got out on the road and got a little more experience and traveled, and also just saw the future generations, the subsequent generations of San Francisco comedy. Sure. But it's not always like that. Most of the time, there's what you call like kind of a class of comedians, people that start together
at
a given time in a given city, and typically one or two of them is really good, and the rest are all cool people. And we were really like our whole group was really solid. And I don't know, I'll tell you some names. Some of them you'll know, some of them you won't, but. There was this, you know, in my group it was Moshe and this kid Brent Weinbach and this kid Chang Wang, who's now writing on Fresh Off the Boat, really funny Chinese comic, and Louis Katz, who's in New York now, and Ryan Stout. And
anything else? Shot.
I'm gonna
food.
Order food at some point.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, whenever you want.
Food in a bit. Yeah. Thanks.
A little bit. We're gonna podcast for a while, then we'll order some food.
Shout out to Redline staff.
So in the Bay Area, we had a really strong group when we started together, and Moshe and I happened to be friends before either of us even did comedy because we went to a community college in Oakland, California called Laney College, which is famous for its neon sign. There's this big tower called the Laney Tower, which is kind of the administrative building, and they've got this green neon sign on top that says Laney College, which is the hallmark of any fine, you know, educational academic establishment is a neon sign. Because, you know, those things aren't cheap.
Well, I mean, how are people going to know it's there?
Right.
You know?
That's another. It's right. If you're driving down the 880.
Yeah.
Which, or you're as driving they say down. In the Bay Area, 880. They don't use the. Hey.
You're depressed. Listening to some Nirvana. You look up. You see that sign.
That's right.
Turn your life around.
It's about when a little after Nirvana, but we probably met in somewhere in the 96, 1996, right? Wow. I've known that guy like 20 years now.
Okay.
And we would kind of all hang out in the, the quad together and swap. You know, raunchy sex stories and stuff like that. And then I would just kind of see him around Oakland for years and ran into him in the San Francisco open mic scene. And neither of us knew the other had started doing comedy. And we kind of had
was there comedy in Oakland? There were some rooms there, but really,
the Bay Area comedy scene is centered in San Francisco. But there's a lot of local road. It's a little different than LA where, I mean, there's that here, but it's not the same. Like you can live in San Francisco and within 100-mile radius, there's a bunch of like, things you can kind of scrape a living together actually just doing once you get to that point where you can fill the time just on bar gigs. Like I was waiting tables when I started comedy, and within about 3 years I was able to quit doing that and make the same shitty money just like $100 here, $200 here,
all around the Bay Area.
Yeah, when you move to LA it's just really it's not like that. You're kind of, it's more of a gamble for the big money.
I was curious about that because I feel like from what I've heard, New York seems like it's like you can like do a few. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but just from what I've heard, it sounds like you could do a few shows a night even if you're a New York comedian.
Totally.
But it sounds like in San Francisco kind of area, you could do a few quick ones. It might be like lower profile. And in LA, is it just like strictly high profile, make it or take it?
I'm going to correct some of that, but you're a little right. There's nothing like New York.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I was just out there for a month, like I said, yeah. writing on another show.
Oh, that was a question. Oh.
Yeah, and that was, but there was a girl there, a really funny girl named Suba. God, I'm gonna fuck up her last name, Agarwal. She's a good friend, so I hope I didn't fuck that up too bad. But great comedian. But she was doing every weekend. She'd do like 12 sets, and she'd be bummed that she only got 12. that just sounds exhausting to me. And there's, but you know, whether you want to do that or not, in most cities it's not on the table.
Yeah,
because the stage time is just not there. In the Bay Area, you can do one or two a night, or you know, five or six a week, you know, depending on how aggressive you want to be about it. And I think that's enough for me, and that's normal. But there's this myth that there's no stage time in LA or that you have to be famous to get it. It's totally not true. I'm not pursuing it. I'm kind of in this phase where I'm kind of over the comedy hang, so I go to places like this and hang out. Sure. But
do you do stand up around LA?
I do stand up in LA, but not nearly enough. Okay. It's one of those things where it just at some point I'll just start again, I guess, because once you like, you know, doing like sets beget sets. You get out there and you do a set or you do a show, and then someone else goes, you know, you should do my show on Tuesdays at this other bar. Yeah. And I just kind of burn out on hanging around comedians, to be honest.
Just because they're everyone's like grinding it out.
Any comedian that might be listening to this, not you, you're amazing. But I mean, for the most, it's just a lot of like kind of. It's a lot of insecurity and name dropping and humble bragging, and me included. I get around a group. I find myself doing that, and you know, everyone's kind of talking about what they're up to, and then you feel the need to like, hey, I'm relevant too, and you find yourself dropping names, and it just, I kind of rather just hang around normal people and drink and hit on girls half my age. Yeah. That sounded so creepy, and I was
sounded so creepy if you kind of like trailed off a little bit.
Yeah, but I was joking. But I didn't. No, I'm gonna be honest. When I started the joke, I didn't know where I was gonna go with it.
Sure.
And then that's where I went, and I kind of regretted it. So, if you guys really edit out half of this thing, maybe maybe consider that line for your consideration.
Sure. Or we'll just put it on a loop 30 times in a row.
Yeah. Hashtag it. Make it the slogan for the podcast.
We'll do it Bang Bros style and just drop it in the middle of the.
You
know what? Okay, never mind. I thought you might cut that. Okay.
Well, I didn't get
never
it.
Mind, never mind. Just
what'd you say?
We'll edit
if
that
I had
out.
Headphones,
I'm sorry.
I would have heard it.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
No offense to anybody here.
Well, we'll get the headphones. I think this is really a lesson to all of us that we need the headphones.
Is this your guys' first podcast, or have any of you podcasted before?
I think it's that we were like talking about doing one for a while, and the opportunity came about where Will's dad ran into the owner.
Classic Will's dad.
Yeah.
Will's dad.
The owner of the Red Lion.
Mr. Hagel.
Shout out, Mr. Hagel.
Shout out.
The owner of the Red Lion actually lived in my hometown, which is in Illinois.
Oh, right, because he owns Champaign, a bar out there, too, or something.
Yeah, the White Horse.
Oh, you're from Champaign.
Champaign, Illinois. What a good city. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 135 miles south of Chicago, you'll find a place called Champaign, Illinois. 124 miles west of Indianapolis, you will find Champaign and Champaign and Champaign
and Champaign.
Have you been there?
Okay. No, but I know it. It's a weird story how I know about it.
Okay. Once in a while they get a stand-up comic or two coming through. But
yeah, no, Joe Mandy was just there, I think.
Yeah,
recently.
No, everywhere. Comics work everywhere. Like I said,
it's a little conservative.
But it's a college town.
Yeah, it's a college town, but they don't get big name comics, really. Like, because growing up, I was always like a fan of comedy.
Well,
the only person
they
I
were going to have
Tom
Cosby
Barry.
There, but then that whole thing came up and they canceled.
Like,
yeah,
he was about to be before that album.
Yeah, yeah, he was about to.
Really?
They canceled him.
But yeah, I had been telling, because we would come to the Red Lion and talk into our phones as if we were doing a podcast. And it was kind
to
of.
To each other? Or would you record?
Well, with our. Yeah, we would record it on our phones.
But
we'd
like, kind
like
of bring friends, and it was like kind of for fun.
Would you post
them anymore?
We posted a couple of them, but we didn't really do much with it.
We didn't really promote it.
But I had told my dad about it, and then he met the owner of the Red Lion and was like, oh, they want to do a podcast. And then.
So this is sanctioned? This
yeah.
is like official?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're
yeah,
sanctioned.
Yeah. This is,
I think,
no, I knew that you, no, I knew that it was that you had permission. I didn't know that the Red Lion was looking.
Sanctioned by the
so
Red
they're
Lion.
Like, they sponsor it.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit.
We back? I was back.
Yeah.
I was texting.
No, it's
keep
fine,
texting,
man.
Keep texting.
Yeah, we'll just have a meeting on the.
But yeah, basically the short short version is we're in the points, media empire, coming in strong, got to get the podcast going. We're a t-shirt company, and first we got a lot foremost. Of sponsors like audibletrial.com/inthepoints, Squatty Potty, Warby Parker, buy it on our site.
Visit audibletrial.com/inthepoints to download a free audiobook of your choosing from Audible. That's audibletrial.com/inthepoints.
Visit audibletrial.com/inthepoints to download yourself a free audiobook from Audible. That's audibletrial.com/inthepoints.
Nope. I'm also like, I want to just, I feel like I've been on the borderline where, like, do I want to start hitting up open mics and doing that whole, and doing, like, writing courses and stuff. 26.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're good. You got about 6 months before you're too old to start.
Exactly. Yeah, you know.
I'm not joking.
Once I hit that 27.
Seriously, once you're, like, 30, it's like, Mr. Nickelodeon will tell you. There's just rooms that don't want to talk to you once you hit a certain age. I moved to Los Angeles at 31.
Yeah.
And fucking, like, it was already, like, MTV, nope.
Damn.
VH1, nope.
When did you start stand-up, though?
I was.
I was older.
I didn't go to. I'm a high school dropout. I didn't go to college. I'm kind of a hood rat. Well, community college doesn't count.
Yeah,
that's like something.
But you have a GED though.
Something like that. I have a California specific version of it called the California High School Proficiency Exam, which I only took because to go to some junior college.
They put the name deficiency.
Proficiency. Did I say deficiency?
I must have just misheard you. I was like,
no,
damn,
I probably said that.
That's harsh.
Yeah, right. When I was a kid, my father convinced me. I grew up going to Giants games, and although I hate the Giants, there was something called Fan Appreciation Day.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You guys have heard of that at the ballpark?
They have fan
appreciation. My father convinced my brother and I that there was something called Fan Depreciation Day, where they would just pick one random ballpark or baseball fan by ticket. Bring them and execute them on the pitcher's mound.
Yeah,
and we believed the fuck out of them. And we lived in fear of Fan Depreciation Day. Every time we'd go to a game, we'd be like, this is not Fan Depreciation Day, is it?
It was just one day a year.
It was like a calendar event, like on the Giants, according to him. And we fully believed him that was a real thing. They would put him on the pitcher's mound and shoot him. Execute one fan at random. It was Fan Depreciation Day.
It
was a classic
my
dad bit.
Can't stop laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's where you got the comedy.
I guess so. Well, he's dead, so, you know.
Yeah.
Didn't work out well for him.
Was he a fan execution?
No, he was just a fan of teasing gullible children, I think.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Can I get on the record then? Are you a baseball fan, and if so, what team?
Big time. I'm wearing a Mets jacket right now, and it's not hipster irony. Yeah. I'm a big Mets fan. Yeah, right. a gigantic Mets fan.
Nice.
I love sports, man. Sports is like my favorite thing in the world. That surprises people when I say that. I'm always like, this guy, people think, like, this guy's in sports. He looks like he's in the, like, some podcasts. So.
It's hard to tell nowadays who actually likes teams.
I know. But I'm a big Mets fan my whole life. Die hard. Well, most of my life, from like 9 years old. My father, I grew up in San Francisco, and my father hated the Giants, and he just brainwashed my brother and I to hate the Giants. And he was a New Yorker, but was not a Mets fan. But I picked them. I felt the connection to New York because of the family stuff. But also, it was Gooden's rookie year, which I believe was '85, probably around 5 or 10 years before you guys were born. And Doc and Daryl, and I got on board with the Mets. And then when we won the World Series in '86, I was 11. And I'm dating myself, literally dating myself. And that was enough to keep me sustained. And I've just been absurdly loyal to the Mets ever since. Although I didn't go to a game when I was in New York, and I could have. I had 3 opportunities, and I didn't get it together.
You've never been to a Mets game at all?
No, I have. But when I was in New York recently, the season had just started. And there was one weekend when I had a Friday, Saturday, Sunday where I basically could have gone to any of the games if I had. But Friday was freezing, and and Saturday and Sunday, I think I just drank instead.
Yeah,
sure.
But I didn't have anyone to go with me, and I didn't have a ticket, and I'm sure I could have got a cheap one, and I didn't. I dropped the ball. Sorry, Mets.
Hey, Live from the Red Line listeners, this is voiceover actress Anna Frixell. Sorry to interrupt, but just had to explain that there were some audio issues. Then the points crew was asking Jacob to name his top 5 streets of Los Angeles. It's a classic segment called Street Sweepin'. Enjoy the rest of the show, and don't forget to visit audibletrial.com/inthepoints for a free audiobook.
Street Sweepin'. So we were doing the streets, and then I think it all crashed.
I don't know where
let's start with Melrose.
I led with Melrose. I don't know that it's my number one.
Yeah,
but it's the street I'll lead with.
Okay,
because it's, you know, that was my first touchstone in Los Angeles, is doing that club, the Hollywood Improv.
Wait, so do you
which I think is the best club in LA?
The Hollywood Improv.
Yeah.
Do you, when you came to LA, were you getting like?
I was getting spots because I had some heat, what we call heat in the business.
Okay.
Because I had done the Montreal Just for Laughs Festival, and I kind of had a big manager at the time, and I had just done Comedy Central, the show called Live at Gotham, that's pretty much a dead credit.
Yeah.
I rocked it in 07. And I stole my fucking intro. You've seen this guy in Comedy Central 10 years ago for 4 minutes. I was getting, you know, everybody gets that one chance to be the new guy in LA. You can never get it back. Mm-hmm. And unless you're Everlast, then you come back as House of Pain, because you guys don't remember any of this, but you're probably too young for House of Pain. But Everlast,
I mean, I know the one song.
That's the only song you know, really? Well, before that, he was like a rapper named Everlast, but he was like this kind of suave, good-looking kid. He was part of Ice-T's Rhyme Syndicate.
Okay,
he was like kind of a rap crew. Yeah, history, yeah.
As a former white rapper,
but he kind of went away. That was like late '80s. 89, 90. And then he came back in like 93. It's just all shaved head and goatee, but he was like this pretty boy before that.
Okay.
And he got two chances in LA, but he's from here. Then he had a heart attack. He had three chances because then he did the Whitey Ford thing. God.
What is that? Yeah,
remember the Everlast? No? Everlast had way too many chances.
This is surprising. As self proclaimed hip hop fans, that's.
Yeah.
You guys are hip hop guys?
For some reason, the only song I can name is White Trash Beautiful, which is another generic hit.
That's a hip hop song?
Is that even Everlast? No.
I don't think so.
White Trash Beautiful. Trailer Park Queen.
No,
I think it might be. Look it up later.
I want to go on a tangent. And we're talking hip hop. I know you're from the Bay Area. Did you grow up listening to the hyphy scene or like.
No, I'm a little older than that. But I grew up listening to. A lot of Bay Area rap, but also I was mostly in the East Coast rap as a kid. But yeah, I mean, Too Short and Tupac, all the twos,
E-40 and the Click,
E-40 a little bit, but more like I was more into that kind of like Souls of Mischief, Hieroglyphics, Del the Funky Homo Sapiens stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if that would be my Bay Area.
Okay,
that would be my Bay Area. That's where my hip hop taste and my Bay Area cred intersect. One time I was bad tripping on mushrooms and I ran. I used to kind of know Del, whose real name is Taryn, just through mutual friends. And I used to work at this Tower Video on Telegraph in Berkeley. And he was really into video games. And he would come in there and I would comp him. Like back then, you could just like hit F1 on the computer and change the price to whatever you wanted at Tower. Yeah. And I'd just be like, oh, you're Del. This game, the Super Nintendo game's $50. Just take it for $2. And then I would just start like giving him shit. So I was a fan. But it kind of led to like a legit friendship. And one time I was bad tripping on mushrooms. I ran into Del on the streets of Oakland and he talked me down.
Damn.
I mean, his version of talking me down was, it's cool, dude. You'll be all right. Just drink some water. But like at the time, that's what you wanted to hear.
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina.
I mean, really, that sounds like bad advice. But Del was like known as like the, he was like the acid king.
Uh-huh.
Like before that was even, like everybody's doing acid again now. It's like trendy, I don't know if you've noticed.
That's how he got those intelligent lyrics.
For a long time it was not cool to do acid. But Del was an acid guy. And so like, you want to run into a guy that's been through it before. So just a guy that's like, you know he's been there. And he's like, it's cool, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, right.
It was like enough to calm me down at the time. And it's a cool name drop story.
And I don't want to shout out too many people, but shout out Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Shout out Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
Shout out Deltron.
Shout out Taryn.
Another fine day in this land I live. Old land where they don't give a shit, and that's it.
Are you dipping the fries in mustard over there?
I am. That's my fave.
I know I joke a lot about the seasons, but.
That's what I do.
Back in season one, we used to get the fries every time, and
that was a whole topic.
Yeah,
enjoy
it was
it.
A topic of what people would dip in the.
That's that German mustard.
Usually it was ketchup, and I was critical.
I don't like ketchup.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm not a ketchup guy. I like vinegary, tart stuff.
Damn, the German shit's good.
The German shit's good,
I
yeah.
I want to try this for reference.
Yeah, do it.
I want to see, like,
this is just the normal French's American yellow crap. It's disgusting.
Oh, it's night and day.
Night and day. I mean, you could do this in a pinch. It's better than no mustard, but did you want to do the taste test before I put it away? Jake?
I actually don't like mustard.
I want to get your thoughts on Amoeba and Rasputin and what's the best record store in
the world. Wow.
but I got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff to cover. We got four more streets
and we got five more topics.
Well, I'm going to drop another street, but I can't drop it because it's the street I live on currently. And, you know, I have a lot of like really obsessed fans, obviously.
It's a street in LA.
You guys bleep it out for me?
Just like a beep noise right
here? Will you bleep it out when I say the street?
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Sure.
Because I live on the street. And I'm very popular with the ladies.
Yeah,
with the crazy ladies.
Edit this out.
Well, I'm gonna go with.
No.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Happens every time.
Great opportunity to save again.
This is Shits Fired, brought to you by Squatty Potty.
Yeah, I'm about to double shit here.
I'm going to take a bold stance here. I'm going to shit on Donald Trump, the president of the United States. Because you know what? I don't like that guy. I'm not a fan of him. I know. I don't care. I don't care who knows it.
First time we've heard that on this.
I'm just going to... I mean, I hate to like throw the podcast in a whole different direction.
Well, we always go to politics.
Me getting all knowledgeable and political.
We always go to politics around this time.
Yeah, well, I'm going to... Well, again, I don't like that guy. I don't think he's a good president.
I like...
I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
I'm going to shit on him.
I'm a co-sign the shit on.
I think the
Do you want
last,
to shit on who you use it?
Yeah,
usually?
I think the last 5-6 podcasts I've shit on Steve Bannon, but tonight I wanted to shit on Apple.
Is he done?
I think he's kind of done. I think he's kind of pushed out. He's pushed far
he's
aside.
Done.
Basically, I don't want Trump presidency, which is already a reality show, to become like The Apprentice, where it's like, is this guy going to get fired? Because I feel like even in the first few days, it's like.
Don't we want that? Don't we want everybody to get
We
to
want
get
them
fired?
To get fired,
the, like,
but it's
entertainment
like we don't
like,
I don't know if like that fuels him of like is he going to fire this guy and then replace him with someone equally as bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's hard to get as bad as Bannon. I mean, that was a real
that's true, a real scary
like
I'm just thinking of the Michael Flynn thing and then it's like I don't know.
Although you know I got to meet you know who Ben Shapiro is? He's like a right and all
sounds familiar.
The right.
I've heard the yeah,
Twitter personality
the name,
and he was a writer for Breitbart. He's a Jewish guy from LA. Real bright guy, and I met him. He was a guest on a test show for the Problematic show, and we did at the UCB. And I kind of I talked to him for a long time in the green room, and he knew Bannon personally, and kind of what I suspected. He's not alt right. He's not a Nazi. He's not an anti Semite. He's not any. He just he just wants power. I'm like he has no agenda other than power. It's and I think that's slipping away from him now, but you know. If being a Zionist was what would get it for him, he would do that. I really don't think there's no moral compass or real actual agenda. It's just what's going to get me the most, the most power. And that's, from a guy that worked under him for a long time, if I'm allowed to quote him.
I'm curious with it yet, too. So when this is now, we're going tangent, but I'm really curious about this now. So when you were doing that, you were doing like test shows. Did they have a chance of airing or was it strictly for
of
running
practice.
Up?
Practice.
It was practice. Did they know it was practice, the guests coming on?
Oh, yeah. There's no cameras. I mean, it's at the UCB.
So it's just kind of a, okay.
It's not like, I mean, the real thing shot in a studio.
Well, because the other thing, to go back to the beginning of the podcast, when you're asking what you think Problematic is like, because I've also heard Moshe's podcast.
The Hound Tall thing? Yeah, that's
great. It's kind of like pretty much... Sounds similar to that.
It's not dissimilar, but it's obviously it's a podcast, so there's no visuals.
Is there an expert?
Well, I
though?
Mean, obviously, but
is there what?
Yeah.
Is there like an expert though, or is it
sort of? There's multiple experts. Yeah, so I mean, it's I guess it shares that.
But are there comedians?
Yes.
Chiming in. Okay.
Yes.
Everybody, no
tune
real
in.
Point to me to
find out.
Tune in. Wait, what? When
Tuesday,
is it?
Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights
after Tosh.
After Tosh.
Yeah, I saw. I just watched
it's the intellectual block.
I watched the clip of the nice. I watched the clip of the appropriation rap with MC Search.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
That was good. Yeah,
I was bummed I wasn't around for that because I'm a big MC Search fan from back in the day. Like no joke, I was a big third base fan.
Nice.
Yo, I'm finna kick a verse. It's dope and amazing about the history of cultural appropriation, but I could use assistance to make my case.
Holy cow! It's MC Search from third base.
All right,
let me get
a save. I was trying to think of what, honestly, I was trying to think of what my second shit on was going to be, but really, I was going to say I'm not a hateful person, but that's not true. If there's something that pisses me off, I'll let people know, but there's nothing I want to shit on at the moment, so I'll reserve. Honestly, it seems like it's working. I'm going to shit on Steve Bannon again, because every week he's become less powerful, and we're going to go like 7 weeks
in a row. Single-handedly taking downs.
Wow. Single-handedly. We'll loop that at the beginning.
All our fans are just, you know, all the trolls out there are listening and stopping their acts.
All right, I'm going with Logan, guys. Number 3 Street.
Oh,
Logan and Sunset and Echo Park. They got my favorite taco truck in the city is Tacos Ariza's.
That's
Ariza.
By Sage, right?
By the Lassens and the Walgreens. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I believe that's okay. Logan and Sunset.
I want to go.
I thought you were shitting on the movie Logan. So
no, I want to see Logan. Too. I haven't seen Logan. Yeah, and I really wanted to.
I think, and I think it's definitely a great movie. You should check that out. But what I'm curious about is, I was telling some friends recently that I don't check out enough taco trucks in L.A. I go to Gus's once in a while.
And Gus's is great.
And, you know,
nothing wrong with Gus's.
The hole in the walls like Burrito King right next door.
The thing about
away.
Gus's is not tacos. Though. You got to get mulitas.
That's, yeah. The
you probably know
great
I'm sure
there.
You know that. Yeah. I'm sure both of you
great
know
burritos, too. And I want to ask, though. I've been curious about, like, tacos. Is it Ariza?
Tacos Ariza.
And then there's Flamin' Taco right down the road.
I don't fuck with that, but I fuck with Ariza, which
so
I feel is
say,
really
yeah,
great.
Give me the, like, elevator pitch as though you owned it. What
Ariza?
Am I getting there?
$1.25. Just, it's what tacos should be. It's just tortilla, meat, onion, cilantro, and whatever sauce, you know, and a salsa if you choose. I mean, people that don't live in L.A., that's a taco, right?
Yeah.
People that don't live here, like, you know, I lived in the Bay Area for most of my life. We have a lot of Mexican people there. I thought we have a lot of Mexican food. Mm-hmm. I thought that I knew what was up. Then I moved to, you know, I lived in Santa Monica for like 6 years. It's Southern California. It's L.A.-ish.
Basically,
you know,
LA.
It's the L.A., yeah. The greater L.A. area. And I realized that until I moved to the east side of L.A., I really didn't know. I don't think I ever had a taco.
Yeah.
Anyone that goes to a taco place and orders a burrito, that's like already, okay, that's sign number one. You don't know what a good taco is. There's no reason to order a burrito.
Once you got that option.
Dude, it's the perfect food. And like, you look at the taco emoji, it's got sour cream and lettuce and shit.
Yeah.
Not that doesn't taste
that's
good.
That's that Midwestern shit.
It's that Midwestern, you know, my mom would do taco night. It's that we would, the Lowry's taco seasoning. I mean, we've all, I mean, Taco Bell, it tastes good. Yeah. We could talk all the shit we want about Taco Bell, but it's tasty. But if you like the actual taco experience, and I almost feel like, I mean, I'm sure it's great in Mexico, but I feel like LA is about as good as it gets for tacos. And it's just, when I was in New York, that's like what I missed more than anything.
Yeah.
I feel like some days when I went to like Taco Fest in LA and I like actually was going stand to stand and really having tacos, I was like, shit, like, I was like in college, just like, my mind's like open. You know, I've been to a few stands, but yeah.
No, trucks are it. And it's like, you know, in New York, everybody would say, there's this great taco place. And I would just go, no, there's not. And they would find people. No, I don't be like that. It's, you just got to come check it out. And then you go and it's like $3.50 a taco, and it's like, no, dude, a taco is $1.25. You fit like 6 or 7 of them on one paper plate. Mm-hmm. That's can't
beat
it.
I think it's underrated. Which maybe it goes
Ariza
into
though. Well, tacos Ariza. They're not.
Well,
paying
no,
me
an underrated thing to say that the pizza, like pizza of New York, is like tacos of L.A. Which maybe
I'm not a pizza guy. So.
Well, I'm doing a plug for Problematic. I heard there's a cultural appropriation episode.
Uh huh.
Yeah, which I feel like maybe that's because like white people haven't appropriated tacos the same way yet as I have pizza.
Well,
or they just don't
they
hype it up.
They certainly have, but it's they have, but it, I mean not on the same scale. Obviously.
Yeah. Well,
but
it's not like come to L.A.
Dude,
and like,
I
you
read
eat all these tacos.
I think
it's the
in
same
Sweden.
Vibe.
Every Friday night is taco night. They don't, you know, we have Taco Tuesday here.
They do.
I read this thing in, you know, some blurb, some, you know, some weird news story. And it's pretty much the taco emoji tacos with the you know.
Yeah.
And probably even weirder because they're probably putting out meatballs and gravy or whatever. Yeah. Fish. Yeah. Like weird, but not like smoked weird fish.
Full fish. Yeah.
A whole fish. Exactly. Yeah. Just on a tortilla. But that's fine. You know, like there's, I'm sure that our version of lots of foods aren't, you know, lots
exactly.
of, we eat a lot of, I mean, what I consider Indian food, I'm sure they don't eat in India.
Uh-huh.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Right.
For
but
me,
I mean,
that's what I think of it as.
Well, tacos are just such a, for me, I don't know. It's such an L.A. sacred thing.
Well, that's more what I'm saying is, like, you go to New York and everyone's like, oh, pizza, like, this is the pizza place. And you go, it's like a dollar slice. And you go in, it's like the old Italian man just, like, making a pizza.
Yeah, we're definitely, I think tacos are the equivalent of that for
Los
Angeles.
That's basically what I'm saying.
But it's not a California thing. I think it's an L.A. thing. Even San Diego, which is obviously closer in proximity to Mexico. I feel like the legit taco makers kind of skip San Diego. Because it's like, it's too close. We're like, you know, this is a little, let's just keep going a little bit. I feel like we get the best tacos, even better than San Diego, I think. Not that there's not great tacos in San Diego, but LA is like, I feel like we're in Taco Central, especially in this part of town.
You can walk down the streets here, you can go to any hole in the wall you find, and you're going to find, especially when you go like, and you probably were east of like La Brea, and you're probably going to find somewhere good.
Well, I like to say I don't hang out west of Vermont, but La Brea is it's a hike.
Yeah.
But
I've also never.
So let's
Vermont,
name that. What is
like
that street number 4? Vermont.
I'm going to name Vermont.
Shout out Vermont.
Big shout out to Vermont.
Yes. Before,
because that's the cutoff for me. And, you know, when I moved, some girl, actually an old friend of mine who I knew in Oakland who's from here, and I ran into her here when I moved to this side of town. She would say that as a joke when I would talk about, you know, that I lived on the west side. She's like, I don't hang out west of Vermont. And I kind of copped that. And I was like, I'm going to steal that. I like
it's
that.
It's definitely a dividing point for some
reason.
But
now that I've lived here for, like, you know, a good amount of years, I'm like, well, that's actually, that's really the line. Like, when you you really feel it once you cross Vermont.
Yeah. I could not agree more. And especially the only times I do cross it. Okay. That's not true. When I like to cross it, like if I'm just, it's like the weekend, I like crossing it for K-Town. I like grabbing some food in that
K-Town.
Area. You got to hit it up once in a while. Yeah. But the stuff
although you
that,
can
like,
kind of
really
be on the urge,
me,
the verge, I mean, the edge of K-Town without
yeah,
crossing Vermont.
Yeah, you can go down. You can like, you
just cruise down Vermont. You know, you never have to cross it.
So, yeah, it's like, it's a great street. And we used to live by there. We used to live more in the K-Town area.
Yeah.
So,
it's also a good, like, because I do this commute from Santa Monica out to Silver Lake with my kids. So, you know, to like, get off the freeway. As opposed to like
at
taking
Vermont
to,
and go straight up,
take it straight up, and then get over to Virgil. And like, so that's and Virgil's not my. I'm not dropping that. I'm
or
Virgil,
you can go,
but I'm not dropping
hit up
that.
Simply.
You can
you.
Get off at
Cabo Wujo.
You ever get off at Hoover and go up Alvarado?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Or just go up all the way. Go Hoover all the way.
Oh.
Just right till the
hot day. We and it kind of hits that dead end. And it turns quick.
And you turn
right,
left, and then you get on Virgil, and then you turn on Smilex. My favorite fucking street. And I'm gonna drop that one. No, it's called Smilex.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Smilex. That little cut, that
court,
little shortcut.
Maybe,
yeah. No, it's not a court because it's that little shortcut where you get from you could get from Virgil to Silver Lake Boulevard. But I just like it because it reminds me of Smilex gas
right
from
turn,
Batman.
Right?
Yeah, it's the little weird turn.
Oh,
you take a
gosh,
ride,
I love it.
If you don't want to, like, wait to get to Beverly.
Yeah.
To turn right.
I don't
there's
know
that little
why
shortcut.
That's so efficient, but, like, everybody who knows the area, you can tell the people in front of you, behind you, I'll
I'm
going to
drop
it.
That as my other street because...
Oh,
I
the little
curve
street. Around behind the
there's
the new
weird,
dog
like,
cafe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, that's a great, it's a great little shortcut, and also it sounds, it's Smilex Gas from Batman. I don't know if you guys are Batman
fans. Is it Smilex or Smilex?
Smilex. Batman was Smilex, but this is Smilex.
Okay, I was going to say, it sounds
enough.
Like a good diuretic. Like,
yeah, okay.
Smilex.
Yeah, you smile.
Yeah.
It's a smiling, laxative-y situation. Sure. So wait, I think I did five streets, guys.
I think that's five.
Well,
it's
open with
Melrose.
Definitely
enough.
I did Melrose, I did my street, I did...
Logan,
Vermont, and Smilex.
Yeah.
All boom, right. I didn't think I was going to be able to do five.
That was like...
That was smooth,
pro,
guys.
That was ready to
we
go.
Rolled through that.
Thanks for guiding me through that,
street
guys.
Sweeping.
Street sweeping.
As Mike has the four questions. So, let's talk about some of those. No.
He has the four questions?
Yeah, he's got
the
four questions about Star Wars.
There's a specific four questions about Star Wars that you ask everybody? Or
It's four questions about different things every time. But
it's four basic questions that we adapt to whatever the topic.
But I want
to
say on the say on the record as someone who's heard you talk about the prequels that I don't know if you get a lot of like feedback of people agreeing with you or
some
people just angrily arguing with
both.
You. Okay, because just basically I came into Star Wars with the prequels. The first movie I saw was the midnight showing of the first one.
The first movie you ever saw,
or the first Star Wars movie I ever saw. Yeah.
Still though, that's the first Star Wars movie you ever saw was midnight showing of Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
And did it affect you in a good way or a bad way? How did you feel about it?
It affected me in a good way, and I remember being like really hyped up about
it. And then you have to pretend you hate it now because you can't admit publicly.
No,
that you like
I don't because I've never been a huge Star Wars fan.
Okay.
The thing.
Okay, good. And I like this perspective.
Yeah, so it's like I came in from number one, which I don't know if that's how George Lucas intended it, but
he says now that he prefers people to watch it that way, but he's also checked out. So
yeah. And I think maybe I saw like the original ones like when I was a really little kid, but I just don't remember them at all.
So you don't remember them at all still?
No, since I've watched them, but that's within the past year.
Do you feel that there's a big difference? Do you feel that you...
I actually prefer the prequels in
In a weird way I do, but like
I
have to
I
be careful to not say that because I don't. That's
you're
not.
You get a backlash.
No, it's just not because people accuse me of that. Like, it's not that I love the prequels; it's that I love them all equally.
Okay.
But because the prequels are so hated on, and so, I feel like they need defending. And so I've been branded as this prequel lover, but which I am. But it's more that I just look at all six movies with the equal amount. I give all six movies the equal.
I like
of love.
That, and just my perspective is that. Since I saw those first.
They're deeper, though.
They're probably worse. They're probably a lot worse.
Prequels?
Yeah.
No.
I think it's just a thing that the original ones are older.
Well, there's a nostalgia factor for people.
It's nostalgia, which I just don't have at all.
Yeah.
So they're slower and more
boring. But it's also that they're more accessible.
The
originals. They're more swashbuckling fun.
Yeah.
It's something I probably said this on other podcasts, but you know, I think most people would like their Star Wars to be Goonies, and I want my Star Wars to be Tolstoy and Shakespeare, and I feel like the prequels have more of that element to them.
I will say there's some pretty bad dialogue in the prequels.
There's a pretty bad dialogue in the originals.
I know, you can say that about most movies. Yeah.
No, but
my main point is pod racing. It's all about pod racing.
Pod racing is great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we don't need
dialogue.
To talk about
the dialogue doesn't. It's you can't focus on the dialogue.
It's the world, and I personally like.
I love the dialogue in the prequels. I think it's amazing.
I think there's
makes
one
me so happy
line,
just to hear it being
there's
spoken.
One line that somebody showed me where it's like.
Is it the sand one?
No. It's where Anakin and Obi-Wan are facing off in the third one, and what's her name? Spaceship arrives. And he just goes, "I saw your spaceship come in." That's his first line of dialogue.
I saw your ship.
Yeah, I saw your ship. Yeah,
and
it's kind of funny if you just look at it. Just
saw
that.
Our ship, though.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be just.
It's like, what? You never ran out to meet a girl? I'm like, hey, I saw your car.
No, I'm not saying. It.
I mean, that's real shit, man.
I'm just saying it's funny because like
I saw your Corolla. First.
No, I know.
People, as an isolated
you can
dialogue.
Do that to any movie though. Yeah. You really want to decide it sucks and pick it apart. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. They're just. I'm almost talked out about it. Not that I don't want to talk about it.
No, I agree. I don't really want
to
talk
about
it.
They're just so, and I want to. They're perfect, so I can't.
I want to say I don't want to pump up your ego as a prequel apologist to be like, I agree.
No, it's fine,
I'm going on the record.
No, I just today like hit on some girl on Instagram that I had a crush on for a while, and she's like this big Star Wars nerd, and she had all of a sudden posted something about being single, and I was like. Be sliding into those DMs.
Yeah.
Slide in. And I was just like, I love Star Wars and you're so cute and you're single. And then she was like, somehow the prequels came up and she was just like,
it's a deal breaker.
It ended it. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, she didn't say that, but like she stopped responding.
Well, you got to get. Right. And like I'm saying, it's like.
She said, you're losing me. She said, no, she said episodes 1 through 3 equal nah or nah, however you pronounce NAH, where you're from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
And I said Star Wars equals George Lucas, to which she replied, "You're losing me." Well, actually, she replied, "You're losing men," and then did respond with a me asterisk to correct the autocorrect.
Sure.
And but I'm probably losing men too.
Can I get your two cents? No, I know we don't want to go down the whole.
Well, I previewed the 4 points.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
I was gonna. My quick question is, what did you think of the reissues?
You mean the special editions?
Yeah.
They're his movies. He can do what he wants with them.
Exactly.
They're great.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
All right.
I like all versions. I feel like that, you know, the idea that those versions are, you should replace the original versions. I don't believe in that. I don't subscribe to the idea that the originals are somehow more sacred. Like, you know, if Picasso wants to go back and add a couple brushstrokes to his painting 20 years after
he
paints
them,
they're his paintings. He can do whatever he wants. But, you know, I don't care about Han shooting first or Greedo shooting first. That means nothing to me.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing to focus on. Who gives a fuck? And there's scenes in the special edition that don't quite work, but I'm still glad I get to, you know.
Yeah.
Han stepping over Jabba's tail is obviously silly, but I'm still glad I get to see that scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like ideally, pardon me, I'm eating French fries. French fries.
For it.
I feel like ideally, anytime, you know, you should be able to buy in 2017 or 2018, whenever this hits the air, you should be able to buy.
Could be either.
You know, a digital copy of any of the Star Wars or the whole saga and instantly have access to every single version that's ever been released. There's no reason not to. And then because it's not just original versus special edition. He's changed them, or, you know, when Lucas still owned them, he changed them countless times. The 2004 DVD release, and, you know, that's when I believe someone will correct me on this, that's when he added Hayden Christensen to the end of the movie.
I'm not going to correct you on this.
Well,
but,
I mean,
yeah.
But there's, it was,
wait,
there's,
really?
Things, there's things that were, that happened, in, you know, the special editions were 1997. There's been like several home releases since then and re-releases in the theaters, not of the originals, but where they keep making changes. And each, you know, I don't know how many of their versions are of, say, take A New Hope, take the first movie. There might be 6 different versions of that, you know, if you include every little minor tweak that from one version to the next. And there's no reason you shouldn't be able to just buy it on iTunes and then see 1977, 1997, 2001, 2004, 2011, whatever where you could just choose to watch any version of it that's ever been released.
Right.
So, you know,
it's like reading different iterations of a book.
Totally. I don't think that people should be forced to watch the special editions or that they should be, you know,
arguing over
that it should be erased from the archives because there's some kind of sacrilege by changing something. Like, you should be able to watch any version you want. It's 2017.
It sounds like the damn Bible. Like, oh, we're only using this version from now on, and nothing else permits.
Yeah.
I will say really quick, not to damper that, but I think the reason they don't is because different companies own the rights to the movie.
Disney versus Lucas? Or
Whoa!
Really, don't different companies don't? He owned the when it was under him, it was him. He was making it was Luke.
Isn't
George
there like
making,
a couple other companies that technically own rights to publish
not
version?
Star Wars,
of?
No, he gets all. He okay. he Never secured mind. All that. But no, I think that no with I think with him it was that he would say I don't want this early. He was embarrassed of the earlier version. So then I think fans that wanted access to those earlier versions, or particularly the earliest version, felt kind of slighted, or that, you know, that was part of my childhood and you're taking that from me. Yeah. And I don't want to watch this new version with Han shooting first or whatever the hell bothered mm-hmm. them about it, or, you know, the digital dewbacks crawling around Tatooine. The people would just, you know, they wanted what they grew up with, no more, no less. And that's understandable. But for him, I think he was kind of embarrassed. Like, oh, that's an effect I wanted to do better, but I didn't have the budget or the technology to do it at that time. So
right.
I don't so want, I want like to bury that. Like the Wolfman. There's a famous The Wolfman that was in the very first version in the cantina bar. There's this guy that was basically just a dude in a werewolf mask.
Yeah.
And he hated it. And he's been replaced like several times, you know, throughout the history of the different, you know, the different, the remixes, whatever yeah, we're sure. calling them. And even J.J. Abrams threw in kind of a nod to it, and, like this Wolfman, the guy that was in The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if, you know, George hates the Wolfman, I get it. He doesn't want us to see the Wolfman. He wants us to see some more realistic looking alien or some more sci-fi looking alien. But, you know, I think fans should have access to both. I'm being redundant, but
you get no. I like definitely getting this point of view and the clarity on it too. Mm-hmm. Did you have a question? I guess
what
I
are the four things
the
though?
Four
so yeah, we have to wait. Should
we'll
we wait for
the four points?
Should we wait for Will and the four
I
points?
I don't think we need to wait for Will.
Okay, let's get into it.
So normally the background on it is that there are four questions. They all kind of revert to whatever the topic is. I normally don't like choosing them beforehand because I like seeing where the conversation's going, but I kind of thought we could try something along these lines.
Okay, let's do it.
And maybe it's a little different from what you might have discussed before, but the four points, the first question is, we're going to do it in the sense of characters
okay.
from Star Wars. Who do you think is your favorite character?
Oh, hands down, Qui-Gon Jinn.
All right.
My favorite Star Wars character. That's not even a... That's easy.
Awesome. Yeah. We're going fast. We're hitting him tonight. Who do you think is... No, this is kind of a subjective, objective thing. Who do you think is the best character?
The best character?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a tough... Mm-hmm. Yeah, best?
Maybe.
That's a tough one. I mean...
Doesn't always fit, but
I mean,
I'm sticking with it. I'm not backing down. I'm saying
no, it's okay. I want to answer the question correctly. The best character in Star Wars? I mean, that's a weird question. I'm going to say Boba Fett.
I like that.
You know, best just in the, you know, the genius of the showing you just enough of him to make you want more of him, and he's just the perfect outfit, the perfect Star Wars voice, even though they changed his voice. But I like both versions of his voice. His abilities, his history, the mystery around him. It's just a perfect example of George Lucas. No, and he did the same thing with Darth Maul, just like giving you just enough that everyone goes, ah, that sucks, we want more of him. But, you know, you'll sell more action figures and more dumb people cosplay as that character. And
it kind of, yeah, it's like
you I don't mean
video
dumb.
Games
don't
with like kind of like offshoots of stories, like what's going on. Like I'm
it's just a lot
sure,
to
like,
explore
yeah.
with Boba Fett. And I just, it's just so iconic, and it's just so amazing how famous he is for not really having shit to do with the story. There's points of the plot that he helps move, but he's not a major character. He has, I think, three lines in Empire that everybody, you know is it three or four lines? Again, I'm shaming myself. You can cut this out. But he's
got a mythos behind him.
From Pakistan.
Right, Pakistan loves Boba Fett.
Yeah.
That's the best character.
Okay.
Favorite Qui-Gon, best Boba Fett.
To somebody who's new to Star Wars...
Is this question three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Question three. To somebody who's new to Star Wars, who do you think is someone that should get more attention or that somebody who's a viewer should watch out for?
Watch out for Captain Panaka in episode one.
Hey, everybody. It's Joe here on a cold and snowy Central Kentucky Thursday morning with the Star Wars action figure review, this time featuring Captain Panaka from episode one.
He's my favorite because he's just the Captain Negative. Everything that comes out of that guy's mouth. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I do not.
Hugh Quarshie is the actor that plays him, the Swedish black guy that plays him. He's kind of the captain of the Queen security guard.
Yeah.
And everything he says is just like, nope, can't do that. Nope, we shouldn't go there. I don't agree with this. Jedi are wrong. We can't take the Queen. Once you dial into it, though, it is so funny to just, like, every time the guy opens his mouth, it's just like,
nope.
It's to naysay whatever's happening.
Yeah.
And, like, it's easy to miss it, but, you know, I've seen the movie.
It's funny because I didn't know who you were talking about, but then you call him Captain Negative. I was like, oh, that's
the he's just like, this is a battle we can't win.
Yeah.
He's just like, we can't take her there. The Hutts are gangsters. And like, I disagree with the Jedi on this. This is just everything he says, and I'm spacing on it. But like, literally every, I don't think he has one line where he's like, yeah, okay, let's do that.
Oh, yeah. And if you've been listening at home, you just heard all the cuts of him disagreeing with everybody.
This is a battle I do not think that we can win.
I disagree with the Jedi on this. We can't take her there. The Hutts are gangsters.
This is a battle we can't win.
This is a battle I do not think that we can win.
Nope. And the last one is...
Oh, yeah? You guys will do that? Dope.
Yeah, we'll get it going there.
Get it going. Let me know if you need help with that.
Who is kind of like... Think you might say a comedian's comedian. Who's kind of the character's character of Star Wars? Who do you think is like someone who... To someone who's an aficionado, who's like a great character?
I mean, I hate to say it, it's Han Solo. Because not that I hate... I love Han Solo like everybody. But I've just always... Yeah. I was always the kid that didn't... I always wanted to be Luke more than Han. Like, Han was like... I knew that wasn't going to be me. I wasn't going to be the sexy John Wayne guy. But I mean, that's obviously the. I mean, that's the guy that everybody wants to be. I mean,
yeah.
I don't. I'm not going to apply that to myself. But to sit here and say that, there's really no other answer to that question. You know, he's the guy. He's the.
I love the confidence in your answers and the quickness to get it going. Not only shows your knowledge of the topic, but it shows your like dedication to the subject.
Well, thanks. I also inadvertently got two prequel answers in and two original trilogy answers in.
Yeah.
Without thinking about it. So
this
just
no
shows my love is dispersed
even.
Yeah. Well, because what did I do? I went. Yeah, Qui-Gon. Who was my second guy?
Captain
Boba Fett.
Oh yeah, Boba Fett.
Boba Fett, Panaka, and Han. So it's like yeah. That's a pretty good. That's spread pretty. Covered all my bases, I think, there. But without thinking about it. Those are visceral responses. And I was not prepped ahead of time. Did not know you were going to ask me these questions.
Okay.
I want more.
I got a fifth point.
Let's do it.
Fifth point. This is
the fifth element.
It could get pretty tangential. But, okay, so I'll bring this up. I'll just preface it really quick. I think your Twitter bio, whatever, is a Jew Hope.
It is, and you know what? I'm very proud of that, and I can't. No, apparently, I made it up. I came up with that years ago, and I thought this is too easy. And I Google searched it, I Twitter searched it.
Yeah,
I'm the only guy that, and now I put the little TM by it. So I'm trying to
congratulations.
Nice. Yeah, I got it on all my social media, all my dating apps.
Jew Hope.
Yeah.
Hope. I don't know. If, yeah, I'll choose it.
Yeah. I think it's good.
So I was gonna say if they remade just. Kind of the Star Wars
with
universe
all Jews.
With all Jews.
Yeah.
Who do you think some of the people would be in the?
Well, they did that. It was called Spaceballs.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Joan Rivers was 3PO. Yeah. I don't know if she's a Jew. She's Jewish, right? She's got to be Jew. Is she? How do I not
Rick
know
Moranis
that?
Is Rick Moranis Jewish? No.
Oh,
is he?
Ah, good question.
It's not a very Jewish name.
So, but now that you say that, maybe. Not.
And Bill Pullman's probably not, and John Candy's not. So I guess only Mel Brooks is. And
yeah.
And I think Joan Rivers is. She's got to be, right?
How do I
feel bad.
I think
knowing
she
that.
Is actually
as a Spaceballs fan and a comedian and as a Jew, I should know if she is or not.
I think it's wonderful. Everyone reaches God any way they want to reach God, and let's not forget Jesus was Jewish, which makes sense because he really loved his mother.
Yeah.
She's got to be right,
she's just
very. Old school East Coast woman.
I'm Googling it. But, okay, well, so did I did I answer that correctly?
I just...
No, I didn't really.
Who would
that's
all
am
right.
Am I supposed to recasting Star Wars with
Jews? You don't have to, like, cast every single character. Just, like, some of the big ones. Like,
okay, well, I'd be Qui-Gon Jew, obviously.
Okay.
Baruch Skywalker would be... No, I don't know. That's as far as I can
no,
go.
No, that's a good one. That's good. That's exactly what we needed.
Who would that be? Yeah. Well, I mean, probably, like, who would be a Luke? Like I'd say like a Zac Efron. He's like the most handsome Jew. He's like the most
Zac Efron.
You know he's a Jew? Yeah. Did you not know he was a Jew?
No, I didn't.
He's a very handsome Jew. Yeah.
I just flew into LA yesterday.
Yeah.
And
welcome to LA, dude.
Thank you.
A lot of traffic here, but I think you'll like it.
But I didn't really realize I'd heard of it, but I didn't really realize there's a new Baywatch coming out.
Is there a new Baywatch?
I just thought it was the most welcome to LA thing.
The Rock and Zac Efron.
A movie.
Yep,
but it's gonna be a comedy movie. It's gonna be a 21 Jump Street.
Oh, it'll be a comedy.
I thought you meant
we'll all be laughing our asses off.
Oh no, but it's gonna be a the 21 Jump Street model where they're like Starsky and Hutch. It wasn't supposed to be a comedy originally.
You sound kind of condescending. About
a little
that,
bit.
That,
yeah, I mean, good for them if they make money. And I like The Rock and I like Zac Efron, but that sounds. Yeah, I'd rather they did like a sincere reboot on like you know shitty syndicated television.
I see.
Hallmark action.
It'll make a lot of money, though. I mean, seeing those guys with their shirts off.
That was I didn't really.
That's
have
the goal of that movie. Is
Who are the girls?
I didn't have a point to it, but I'm Well, that's the thing. I don't have a point to this ramble, but just because I came in and the entire line of the wall was lined with Baywatch posters or posters promoting Baywatch, like the sidewalk from from the terminal to baggage claim.
Oh, you weren't kidding about just flying in?
No.
I thought you were like making a joke. Like, I just got here. I don't know shit.
No. I flew in from a friend's wedding. Shout out Adam Thies.
Shout out.
Sorry,
weddings.
I had to shout out again. No sorries. We edit all the sorries. No sorries on this episode. But yeah, but it was The Rock and Zac Efron with their names next to them, and then just random girls with no names that I was wondering too.
Really?
There's not a single credit or anything? They're like names too.
Yeah. It's gotta be someone, but
what are the girls who's on?
Their names are lifeguard number one, lifeguard number two.
First of all, let's find out if Joan Rivers is Jewish.
Wow,
she looked bad at the end. Joan Alexander Malinsky, so she was Polish or something.
No.
Shout out.
Wait, SKY, that's Russian.
Oh, that's Russian.
Shout down.
Fuck that.
No.
I'd like to shit on.
Oh, wow. Look how cute she was. She was kind of hot in 66.
But there was always something
everybody
about.
Everybody looks better in black and white, though.
Was always something about Joan Rivers, though, where she never, as bad as she looked, she never really lost it. You know, maybe it's a personality.
She was good. Daughter of Russian Jewish immigrants. Yeah. So totally Jewish. How could I even doubt that? Of course she's a Jew. And what was the other thing we were going to look up, guys?
Oh, I'm
looking up
searching.
A burrito.
Baywatch.
Baywatch.
Why don't you just IMDb? You don't have IMDb? You're just searching girls Baywatch or something?
You're going to get a lot. It's, gosh, it's a drive.
Do they spell it the same or is it BAE this time?
Gosh, they really missed an opportunity, though, to make it BAE.
Okay. So, yeah, we got. Okay, Alexandra Daddario. She looks familiar. Priyanka Chopra. Pamela Anderson's making a guest appearance.
Oh.
Kelly Rorba.
Pull a Han Solo in the seventh.
It's like.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
Pamela Anderson dies.
Hasselhoff's in it.
It was.
Yeah, she's. Okay. Nobody I really recognize, but a lot of hot girls.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, who directed this thing?
Ridley Scott.
Oh,
guys,
there's a fly.
Seth Gordon. I don't know who that is.
This is great content right now for the podcast.
Yeah. Hey, if you're listening at home, picture us.
Yeah.
This is easy, but at least it's easy to cut out.
Please search HTTPS double dot. Yeah. I'm listening to that.
I want to get to know you. What else? What else is? You're a big LA fan. What else is LA to you? Like. I know you're a Mets fan. You ever check out the Dodgers or...
LA's a great city. You know, you're born and raised in San Francisco. You're taught to hate LA from birth. I mean, you're just basically told that you hate it. You know, just like we live here, we hate there. And everyone says the same. Like, it's plastic, and I still don't know what that means. And you kind of just buy into it. And, you know, I'd come down here for short trips and kind of think, yeah, I hate that. I hate LA. And just because, you know, like anywhere that's big and overwhelming, and you think, I want to go back home to the... And, you know, once I lived here and moved here and just really got a sense of it, it became clear that it's just a great city with great people. And every time when I meet natives of the area, they're always awesome. And they're not that dissimilar from Bay Area people, really.
Especially east of Vermont.
Yeah, especially east of Vermont. But, I mean, you know, there's the cliches, the weather and all that. And, you know, obviously I'm involved in the industry that's centered here, so that helps. But I feel like San Francisco has been, especially in recent years, has been so... It's been gentrified in such a specific way, and I mean, everywhere is going through gentrification. Everybody's tired of talking about it by now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's usually like hipsters and artists and stuff. But the Bay Area has a specific kind of tech bro gentrification that's just like a millionaire gentrification that's unlike anything I've seen anywhere else. And LA is kind of maybe as a result of that, or maybe it always was, and I just didn't realize it. But LA is kind of like what I grew up thinking San Francisco was, which is like the center for the arts, and
kind of weirdly became that.
Yeah, especially east of Vermont, where it's really kind of like an artist community in a way that San Francisco is not anymore, and that it used to be. So
it's one of the few affordable cities for people to who are doing.
And on top of all that, tacos. Yeah.
The industry city, I feel, and especially compared to like New York, which I feel like is always focused on the arts, but
it is, but
it's been overrun by banks.
Yeah,
and
it's overrun. Yeah. I mean,
or it is a bank.
You got to get into Hamilton, dude.
Yeah,
my daughter taught me all about Hamilton, and now I'm into Hamilton, and now I know all about Alexander Hamilton creating
and
Wall Street.
Hamilton?
I haven't seen it. No,
I haven't seen it either.
But I've listened to the fuck out of it. It's so good, and I'm not being ironic.
The kids are listening to Hamilton.
Well, I don't, my daughter's obsessed. She's 12. I don't know. I don't know if all the kids are, but my daughter's, and as a result, my son, who's 6 and worships her, you know, he's into it, and now I'm into it, and it's like, which is actually kind of rad, though. When you guys, when you guys end up having kids at some point in your lives, if you do that before North Korea blows us up, it's or I guess we'll just blow them up. Who am I kidding? But it's kind of cool when your kids get you into stuff.
Because it will.
Well, there's like that thing where you get exposed to things through your kids. Like, you know, like every parent knows, SpongeBob's actually a really well written show, and I wouldn't have watched it if I didn't have kids. Yeah. Or you kind of become aware of all the kids' zeitgeist in a way you wouldn't if you didn't have your own.
Own,
absolutely, it's weird. But I mean, not just, but you know, when their opinions are about little kid shit, like I like chocolate better than vanilla, it's not as fascinating. I mean, it's still cool to see them develop from a fetus or a glowworm when they're born or whatever to having an opinion about an ice cream flavor. But like my daughter actually got obsessed with Hamilton on her own. Then kind of she would always have her headphones on, and I thought it was antisocial, and I would just say, whatever you're listening to, put it on the speakers, let's all listen to it. And then I was kind of like, okay, this is decent, to a point where like she wasn't around and I found myself wanting to listen to it, and I thought like, this is really an important piece of art that I never would have exposed myself to if not. And it's like, that really moved me as a parent, like, wow, this is something she got me into. That's not, and it's not just that I'm into it because she likes it, although that definitely enhances my experience.
Like you said, she exposed you to it.
She exposed me to it in a way like I could get her into Star Wars or something. That it wasn't something that, you know, she was like, you should listen to this, you'd like it. Or it was just something that she was into and brought around. And I thought, wow, that is good.
Wow.
I'm going to get into that. You know, I'm into that also now. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's a weird moment as a parent when that happens. That's the first time that has for me. So it's kind of, I hope she gets me into other cool shit.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting too old to keep up with the bands and everything.
That is pretty cool, though. It's like I don't know. I don't have anything interesting to say on it. Just I'm thinking like,
we'll fix it in post.
Yeah, it's your DNA, and so it's like maybe it's more likely that you'll like the same types of things that she likes.
Maybe she's such a different person than me.
That's a thing too.
But I will say like, but when I'm like, when I drive around listening, this has become a very Hamilton centric episode. But I drive around listening to Hamilton like in my car and stuff, and sometimes I get choked. Like I almost cry sometimes, and it's not because of what's going on in the context of the story. It's just because I feel like it's so well executed.
Yeah,
that makes me cry. That makes me want to cry. Just like, wow, this is so perfect. That lyric and that music note and the way that whatever the casting, the singing. I just think like this is like, it's so well done that it makes me want to just. You never see like a movie that makes you want to cry. Nothing that just does that. You guys have that experience,
but
not like something sad is happening. Just like so wow, this was so perfectly executed artistically that it makes you want to. And I feel that way. But then I think I feel that exponentially because then I picture my daughter and her little 12-year-old. Or probably 11 when she got into it, and her brain being moved by this, by what I'm hearing, and I think, you know, like wow,
she gets it,
that moved her, and hearing that and picturing her being moved by that moves me a little more.
Sure.
So it enhances it. But hey, shout out to Hamilton.
Shout out to Hamilton. We are the first people to shout out Hamilton on a podcast.
Yeah.
Shout out.
And I was really disappointed to learn that a lot of people hate it. Because I'm kind of expressing my enthusiasm for it to adults,
Hamilton?
Especially in New York. Everyone's like, oh, that's like Upper West Side rich white girls that think they know about culture because they like it. And I'm like, I don't care who you think likes it or how you think that affects the way you should feel about it. But if you fucking you sit down there and listen to that, I mean, that is a brilliant piece of art. Michelle Obama called it the what did she? I'm going to paraphrase. I'm going to fuck up the quote. But I watched the Hamilton documentary on PBS, and Michelle Obama said that it's the best piece of art she'd seen in any form ever.
Wow,
that's fucking Michelle Obama.
Yeah,
that's Mrs. Muscle T herself. So,
I think I think you know, with a show like that, there's going to be that sense of being a contrarian just to be contrarian.
It's so popular.
And so like, and especially with the classism that comes about with the tickets.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It might make sense.
And it's like, not like the hoods going to Broadway shows.
Yeah, it's like if you could just give it an open mind and 2 cents, I'm sure it's amazing. And I really want to see it now that's coming out.
I want to see it too, but I never hated it, but it's not something I would have exposed myself to.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, when like Rent was big, I was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I never got into that. I'm not like a Broadway guy. I'm not a musical guy. I mean, I like old like 50s musicals and my Singing in the Rain and Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff.
Sure.
My dad showed me. But it's not my, you know, my wheelhouse or anything. But this thing is, it's so much bigger than that. I feel sorry for the guy because, I mean, I don't. He's set for life, but it's untoppable.
He made this like really
for Lynn, you mean?
Yeah, because
yeah, it's
so
like
it's
his
so
thing. Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
it's not just that it's a good musical. It's like it's it feels important. You know, like you listen, like when I'm like, wow, this is
like it's like in the canon.
It's in the canon, but it's great. It's also like I grew up super hip hop. It's like I was saying. It's like it's great rap. It's like, and it's also a musical, and it's also a history lesson, and it's also, you know, important because the significance of the cast being all
reclaiming
people of color
the
history,
and type
reclaim.
Thing.
Yeah, I mean, and just you know, this kid from Washington Heights that grew up on these streets where these people were existing. You know, these kind of founding fathers that were based in New York. It's just everything about it. Such a perfect storm of awesomeness. That, I mean, he might as well just quit. What can he like? What's he gonna do next? I think he followed up with writing some songs for Moana. What are you
going to
do after him?
Moana was a pretty good soundtrack.
Pretty good.
Though.
Your Welcome was a joy to write because I already knew that Dwayne The Rock Johnson was going to be playing Maui.
Pretty good.
It's pretty
You're
fire.
Right. You're right. You're right, though.
Shout out,
right.
Moana.
You're right. Shout out, Moana. Shout out, Moana.
Yeah, this whole podcast is going to be all Hamilton songs. We're going to be pulled from the internet immediately.
Well, if you couldn't tell, we already talked about Baywatch. This is brought to you by The Rock and Moana.
What can I say except you're welcome?
If my episode is just, if you could just cut out all my talking and just replace me with Hamilton and prequel sound bites,
oh yeah,
I will retweet the fuck out of this, podcast.
That's pretty much what it will be. Yeah. Also, I was just, I don't want to go into it. I was just in Virginia and it freaked me out of being around all the. That's where I just flew in from, Virginia, and it just really freaked me out being around all the founding fathers. I don't know. There's something
just
about.
Like the history
I think
behind
maybe
it.
It's something, and I'm a white guy, but maybe it's something about. Like a Jewish person being in a German bar is like I get the same like creepy vibes of just being in the South, like
That's
a northerner
cool.
in the South.
Well, hey man, a lot of people from Virginia,
yeah,
Jefferson,
yeah,
Madison.
Well, in Charlottesville where I was like all Jeffersons, all anyone talks about.
Washington was from Virginia.
Yeah.
I know that from Hamilton.
Hey, there you go. There was no real point to me bringing that up.
No, I've actually never been to Virginia. Traveled quite a bit.
Virginia is very weird.
I'd like to go. Well, the colonial stuff's always. That's always interesting.
Yeah.
It's really weird to think that happened.
So that brings me to my next question. The 4 points. What's your favorite Weezer album of all time?
I don't really.
Oh, okay. We won't get into it.
No, but you know what? I mean, of course, you know, everyone wants you to say Pinkerton, and that's an amazing album. But I have this weird soft spot for Maladroit.
Okay.
But I think it's a great. You don't like it? Or do you know it? It's a great record. But also.
What's the name a couple songs?
Because
it's a newer one, right?
Keep Fishing.
Okay, yeah.
2002. Era.
Yeah.
Their second to last record, Everything Will Be All Right in the End.
I haven't even
really,
heard
really great record. I know nobody wants to hear about 2014 or 2015 Weezer, but really great record. Late 2014. Everything Will Be All Right in the End. It's great. But, I mean, of course, the first two are just, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty hard to beat those.
Yeah. All right. I'll skip the rest of the points.
All right.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to rank Weezer. Love it. I love it also equally.
I'll be honest, I haven't listened to much after Island in the Sun.
Hey, at least you know that.
Good stuff. I haven't listened.
A lot of people hate that album.
No, it's really more that my tastes musically have changed. It's not that I dislike.
No, it's not. I know what Weezer is. You know.
Yeah.
I know what it is. I don't think they're like splitting the atom, although, you know, I'm very big fan, support everything they do.
Sure.
But, I know. I'm not fooling myself into thinking that it doesn't get cooler and more underground or whatever.
I'm dating myself too by saying that the Green Album was the first album that I bought on my own.
Wow, cool.
And well, now I'm trying to tie it to a larger thing of like,
did you like
it? Well, it's like Star Wars. I loved it, but it's like Star Wars.
But you're a little kid.
Yeah, I'm a little kid, and it's like people have the nostalgia for things. I wonder how much that ties into it.
Yeah, well, because had nostalgia for the first two records were really disappointed with the Green Album.
That's exactly. It's like the prequels, bringing it back.
Yeah, but I love the Green Album. I mean, it's also such a concept album. I don't know if you've researched it or
no. No, I haven't.
I mean, like, it was really.
I couldn't tell you the concept of it.
I mean, just the most simple pop song formula. He studied.
Like Kiss or something.
No, he studied Oasis and Green Day. And you know, locked himself in a room.
Progressions.
Yes, and it was just, if you notice, like every guitar solo is just the melody of the verse. If you
with the exception of Hashpipe, which is slightly different. But yeah, I mean, there's a real concept to that album. It's just that a lot of the lyrics don't make any sense, and they're not supposed to make sense. He was just trying to put together, like, mathematically put together the formula for a pop hit. And you know, I guess he succeeded because there's some really successful songs off that record. Although it's not considered their best work, and he's probably underselling himself intellectually as a songwriter or as a lyric writer. But it's you know, and if that had been if he had converted to that style of music making and then made. I don't think they've put out 10 albums now. I don't think they would have got 10 albums if they would have just made a bunch of green albums. But now that you can look at it as album 3 of a 10 album canon, it's pretty cool that they took that up, that album, to experiment with that. And
yeah,
and I mean, it just sounds good.
No, I like the green album.
Yeah,
and Rick still Ocasek own it on CD.
Came back to produce. Oh yeah, remember Rick Ocasek, who produced the Blue album, the Cars frontman. Came back to produce that.
I also remember reading an interview back when it came out, I think, that it's only 28 minutes long.
Yeah.
Or a review of it or something.
Yeah, it's 10 songs. They're all about...
And I just remember it was like, I didn't know anything about music, but it was like, it's such a short album. It's only 28 minutes. And then, for whatever reason, I remember talking about that, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it is short. And then...
It is short.
Now, especially with, like, everyone has short attention spans, I think that's probably, like, the perfect length of an album. Yeah.
No, it's verse... Chorus, verse, chorus,
guitar solo,
yeah. Chorus, and song.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
That's how you do it.
Hashpipe is the only song. The verse is the only song I know how to play on guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very simple. Yeah.
Dun 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 dun. Something like that. Dun 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 dun. Yeah. What does it sound like? I can never. It's like the Monsters, or it's like.
Yeah.
Well, I did the Weezer. I got to perform on the Weezer cruise in 2014. And I was talking to Pat Wilson, the drummer of Weezer, and I think Doug Benson was there and asked him what his favorite song to play was, and I think he said Hashpipe. It was a fun song to play. And I said, yeah, and it's got that Beatles reference in it. It's pretty cool. And Pat Wilson said, Beatles reference? And there's a lyric, I can't help my feelings that go out of my mind, which is a song, it's a lyric from You Can't Do That on Hard Day's Night. And Pat didn't know that. He didn't know that. So I actually taught Weezer about Weezer.
That's great.
In that moment. That was pretty cool for me.
I got a question. And so I was like stumbling upon videos just beforehand. And I saw this kind of sketch video you did a few years back. And you were just kind of doing like interview me. It was kind of like a joke video.
Oh, yeah. That was the one thing I did.
And I,
the one thing.
No, it's just a one-off, but I like
that.
But it was
really fun, right?
Yeah, I stumbled on it. I was like, this is like really funny. And
how could you bottle the concept? Because once people would catch on to it, I don't know that you could do it beyond a one-off.
Yeah.
What caught me about it was, first off, somebody brought up the joke that aren't you Jewish? Why are you getting tattoos? But second off, did you say you have a Weezer tattoo?
I have a few Weezer tattoos, yeah.
And first off ask, what are they and, like, what do they mean to you? Because I know in the video it was just a quick bit, and it was, like, it was really funny how it was, but I was curious. I wanted
to
understand.
Well, at that point I probably only had one. That was, like, 2006. That was, like, 11 years ago, actually. And I have Tired of Sex written on my chest here, which is the first song on Pinkerton, the second album. And, God, that was. Let's talk about how great that concept was, because I fooled everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know if people won't know. It's an old. It's on, like, 11 years old. It's on YouTube. It has like 3 views. But it's it was called the Jacob Seraph Interview Show.
The link in.
I just came up with that concept. Like, I'm gonna because I never told people, and it was a bunch of comedians. I had some good ones, Greg Fitzsimmons, like, and Morgan Murphy, and some of that. And I told them all, like, hey, I'm doing this interview show. If you have a second, if you have time to do a quick interview, and I just kept my language so that I never. That I never lied or whatever.
All right, everyone, I'm Jacob Seraph. I'm here with the one and only Greg Fitzsimmons.
Jen Kirkman.
Dan Levy.
Greer Barnes.
Yeah. You're here with Vinny Brand.
Hazard,
everybody.
Morgan Murphy.
We're doing a series of interviews with comedians.
Good for you.
Yeah, so you ready to go?
Yep.
You okay with that?
Let's
all right,
do it.
So go ahead. Interview.
Oh, I thought you were going to interview me.
Yeah, and it was, and everybody was like, yeah, sure. And I mean, why wouldn't they assume I was going to interview them? And then we'd get back there, and I'd go, like, none of that was staged. I would just go ahead. And they'd be like, what do you mean? I said, go ahead, interview me. You said you were down to do an interview. And they were just like, oh, you want me to interview you? Like, none of them got it.
I love, like, the rashness of it. Like, they didn't know what to think, and then they kept going with it.
Yeah, and I just figured, like, whatever they asked me, I'll just answer honestly. And that was kind of, and that's what happened. And one guy got really mad at me too, because I won't say his name, but there was another guy that got cut off of it because he didn't really play the game right. My ex-wife edited that. She's a really good editor. But I gave her all the footage, and he didn't really ever interview me. It was just like, we were joking around a lot, and it was kind of a fun vibe.
And it was like he actually got really mad at me when he saw the video. Like from some dumb YouTube video that nobody saw, and he got really upset at me that he got cut out of it. And he actually like booked a club that I wanted to work and never booked me. And he said he was in a bookman, never did.
Damn.
I think, and I found out through other people like, no, it's because you cut him out of that thing. And I was like, but it was so stupid. And then, anyway, it was my wife's choice.
Shit on that guy.
Well, rest shit assured, it was a great sketch.
Love that guy. Love that guy.
It'll never. Yeah, it was. You know, you want to make an omelet. You got to break some comedians. I think that's how it goes.
So you got tired of sex from Pinkerton. El Scorcho shows on Pinkerton, right?
Yeah, that was on Pinkerton.
That's one of my favorite. I remember with Will, there was a period post-college. We were just driving in and out nonstop. We kind of were just like, I feel like there was a period where we're looking for shit to do, and we just would go and play through Pinkerton a ton of times. And so I clearly
have
memories
of that.
Also
one of the few songs I can play on guitar.
El Scorcho?
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
It's just got so much energy to it.
Yeah.
So that's just my quick two cents. I just love that song and great album. But I was curious. You said you might have two more.
Oh, yeah. We'll
you have to show.
We'll
we have no visual.
They're from newer stuff.
Hey, save for the box
save for
set.
The end. Yeah, okay. Save for the box set.
Newer stuff. Yeah. But newer stuff. But I actually do have that second to last record that I mentioned. Everything will be all right in the end. I'll say that. I have that tattooed on my left side of my ribs.
Oh.
Because in the font from the record. Because that really affected me at the time, and I was kind of got dumped by this girl that I was really into, and the actual sentence, everything.
It's a good phrase.
Will be all right in the end. Which is obviously ironic, because nothing will be all right in the end.
Yeah.
But it's both. I think it's both things. It's like it kind of feels
fact
that way.
That nothing will be all right.
Nothing
means
will be
that all right
in the end.
Right.
But it also does kind of don't you always feel like everything will be all right?
Well,
a little bit like things work themselves out, but then
in the
long run,
that nothing
does.
Will be all right means that everything's all right because it doesn't matter.
There you go. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
I guess right. Just
guess giving each all other right,
thanks
that
thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, all right. Good night.
All right. I just want to say really quickly, I need to go to the bathroom, so I'll be back.
Do
you think I was going to ask a question?
I'm down to smoke a cigarette at some point.
Yeah.
We don't have to stop, but I definitely got to smoke. But if you guys want to wrap it up.
Yeah,
again.
We can take
we probably got
pause,
one more segment, or we just do a pause.
We got
like
one more segment.
Let's do another segment.
Like 10 minutes.
Smoke.
Yeah. Go for it.
Smoke, and then we'll do the final 10.
Right. Sounds good.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death. Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hates to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette.
And we're back.
What is can we meet about? We got
okay. So when we're doing the next go sketch yourself?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
You guys, I decided I'm going to become a stand-up comedian.
Oh, really?
After this episode.
Well, when you become a stand-up comedian, you should learn to put your mic to your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
The number
I
one
was doing
rule.
It a lot, been, but also my mic was
yelling.
Fucked up. Look it, it's so
yelling?
High. But not. But I was no. Loud. But I was still doing. It's just my. I got stuck with the short mic.
At the beginning, you were doing that though. You were like
short mic. Keep talking.
I was doing this.
Keep talking.
I normally am. Okay, I've learned.
Put the mic like this to your mouth.
Okay,
like, put it like
la,
the
la,
way
la,
I'm
la,
doing
la,
it.
La, 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 la,
like, but no,
okay.
At your mouth.
Hey, hey,
like,
hey, hey.
Yeah.
Okay, it's on my mouth. Okay, let me go on the record here. I learned. There was season one. I didn't do it well. Season two, I did it great. Season three, I kind of forgot.
You're relapsing.
Season 3.9. We're about to end season three, probably.
Are we?
No.
We haven't talked about this.
No, we got
talked
like
about
10 episodes left of season 3.
I think,
but
yeah.
I got to just hold the break. I got to bring the mic back.
I think the reason why we can't end season 3 is we don't have a gimmick for season 4, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm not. I think season 3 is
kind of I really like season 3 thus far. It's my favorite. Yeah.
Season 4 is normally when shows get canceled.
But shout out to season 2 and season 1 as well.
Season 1, I was.
We'll release
the
box set for.
Box
who
set.
Who was it? Yeah. I was watching an interview with.
See, now your mic is hot.
Dude, you should,
I got a hot
you
mic.
Pitch Jacob Wikipedia.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Or
so
just like ask him what he thinks of it.
Nah, we don't need
and
his opinion.
Tell it to your face.
Like, you just want someone to shoot me down.
He's coming back up.
Down to the outdoors.
Let's do it, guys. All right.
We got the. Last few minutes, finish it up.
Oh no, we specifically
no,
that, like, right.
I'm we're reaching the
I'm
end.
Back.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Should we bust?
Oh,
I should have
like
been
do
doing
quick,
this before.
My quick segment.
Yeah,
I made
go
up
for
in
it.
The break. It's called It's called Jacob Siroff's Jacob Siroff's Siroff's Ice.
Okay.
Where you you go on the ice and you talk about the LA Kings and what you like about them this week.
Well, we just hired a new head coach, John Stevens, who's not really a hire, it was a promotion. So we'll see how that goes. He's been an assistant coach for a while. He was a temporary coach in between Terry Murray and Daryl Sutter, and he was a coach in Philadelphia, and I think, you know, that could work out for us. I mean, we missed the playoffs this year, and that sucked. And I've actually been a horrible hockey fan the last couple of years. I've just, you know, I've been really into it at phases, and I do that with sports. I go in and out of being like obsessed with them and just not paying attention at all and feeling like shit. But
I feel that because like I was big on the Clippers for a while, and I still love the Clippers. I just haven't caught them in a while. But
yeah, it's just
go through phases.
There's phases where I DVR every game and I'm watching, and then and then phases like my brother texts me and he's like, "Sorry, the Kings didn't make the playoffs." I'm like, "Oh, they didn't? Oh, yeah, that sucks." Did you play hockey growing up?
I played in kindergarten. I fell on my ass a lot, and then I played basketball, and I was the lanky kid, so basically I sat the bench at basketball and never played hockey. So I was great at sports, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Typical Jewish sports.
Yeah, typical airplane, like, oh, do you have any light reading? And they hand them the note card of Jewish athletes.
Yeah. I forgot about that. That was
so fun. Yeah, you know what? And we're going to delete everything up to here, but we got the Jacob Siroff's Siroff Ice, brought to you by Smirnoff Ice.
Which they serve proudly here at the Red Lion.
Stay cold.
is that the motto?
That's the motto starting now, and I can't wait till we get sued.
I think that brings us to really the pretty much effectively the final segment of the night.
Maybe the most famous segment of the
most famous that nobody knows about. The Kit Kat Quick Chat. Break you off in your Kit Kat cat. So basically, as the listeners,
I feel like you reverse engineered this because it rhymes.
That's exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was sitting on the toilet one day, and I thought, that'd be fun. Anyway, so I got a Kit Kat sitting in front of me. Do you like Kit Kat?
I like Kit Kat. Okay, I'm not a big sweets guy, but I do like Kit Kat. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Not a bad candy bar.
So basically, it's pretty simple. I don't know. I've gotten some flack for not explaining this properly, but basically, I'm gonna ask you a question.
Okay.
The idea is that it's a complex question.
Okay.
And your goal is to try and answer the entire question before we each finish a bar of the Kit Kat.
Okay.
And then your reward is the other bar
of
the Kit Kat.
True.
So with that being said, I'm just going to divvy these out to us three first.
Okay, sure. It's a good thing I'm not in it because this could be really torture for some people, I guess, right?
Well, my favorite part of this
is watch people have to watch people eat Kit Kat. Yeah. But I'm not a big dessert guy, so I just never have been. So, but I'm still fascinated by the concept.
Okay. So tonight's question.
I'm still confused by the concept for however many podcasts.
My favorite part is just trying not to let it melt in my hand after doing it for like 10 times.
Just let it melt in your hand, not in your mouth. So the question tonight is, all right, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Neil Gorsuch.
Okay.
Of all the Star Wars movies,
okay,
which do you think would be the favorite for each of them? Go.
Who would like which one?
Yeah, what would be their favorites, respectively?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is old as fuck, so she'd probably like the original one because that's the only one she can remember. She's probably not even aware that there's other ones. So I'm going to go with that one. And Gorsuch, he seems like that's a tough one. I don't know a ton about him except that, you know, obviously that Donald Trump nominated him and he was confirmed. I'm going to say he would be episode 3 because that's when the bad guys win.
All right. Woo! A little OT there. Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to say A New Hope because...
No, he's not. No, he doesn't represent
not
hope.
Just for this.
He's an old. What's the opposite of hope?
Despair.
Yeah, he's an old. Yeah. He's old despair.
Congratulations, you have.
And I win a Kit Kat bar. Yeah. Awesome.
One bar in a sack. That.
It's nice. No, that's it. I appreciate that bit because you have to spend money on it every week.
I do.
That's a bit that's not a free bit.
And that's straight out of Jake's wallet, not out of the In the Points overdrafted Wells Fargo account.
Do I have to eat the whole thing?
No.
Okay.
Throw it away.
That's actually my least favorite part of the podcast, too, because I have to eat a Kit Kat bar. Yeah.
You don't like Kit Kat?
It was one of those, like, east side...
You don't like Kit Kat?
Yeah, you know.
It's okay. No, it's a good one. I like Twix. Twix is my favorite.
Okay.
Of the chocolate bars.
If Twix came in bars of four, I would... That's really the main reason.
Maybe you can have like a segment where you have people list things and it's like a Twix picks or something. Or
whoa,
you know.
Okay.
Twix bad. Pick six, pick six, Twix pick six, and when you have to like name your, you have to rank your six picks. Favorite Star Wars movies.
Yeah, or potentially kick cereal, kick,
or any
kick,
yeah,
six picks.
Any kicks, Twix. That old show on VH1 Flix that nobody remembers.
Right.
It was
yeah.
a movie review show on VH1 in the 80s, 90s called Flix.
I love the 80s. Yeah. All right, edit me out. I'm done.
Yeah, should we go and kind of wrap it up?
Yeah, wrap it up. I got to do my last segment, In the Pooch.
Okay.
It's a new segment.
Okay.
Where
yeah.
we go
just
in the pooches.
Okay.
And just get your thoughts on the neighborhood locale of the Silver Lake Dog Park.
Dog parks, you know, when I first got, I moved out here right after my marriage ended, and I got a dog thinking it was like, in my stupid mind, it was like some expression of my independence. Like, I'm going to get a dog. I don't.
Why not?
Not
yeah.
realizing that it was the most handcuffing thing you could do to yourself. And I love dogs, but I hadn't owned one
yeah.
as a grown-up, much less on my own. It's impossible. Everyone says it's so much work. You think, I can handle it. I can clean up. I can walk it. But nobody tells you can't leave your apartment for more than 6 hours at a time for
yeah.
the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And so I ended up rehoming him after 4 months.
Okay.
And I got really involved with this girl, and she had a dog, which I really fell in love with, and then that ended not so long ago, and I'm actually pretty heartbroken over it.
Okay.
Over her and the dog. So.
Yeah. Well, okay. Sorry, I brought that up.
No, it's okay. So yeah. it's a great neighborhood for dogs.
Yeah,
that dog park's it's too dusty, though, isn't it?
You'll walk by and like I run around there a lot, and like you'll notice like just all the like dust flying.
Any of you have a dog?
No, it's but like, been in there with my brother's dog.
Dude,
so
like
yeah.
Hey,
how's it going? Thanks for having me. So my brother just got a dog. Yeah, thank you. Dog's real cute and everything. His name's Bear.
It's like you have to take a shower and clean the dog every time you go.
Yeah.
It's like taking your dog to Tatooine, you guys.
Yes.
And that's it. That's how we do it. If you want to, we get the plugs in. If you want to get the plugs in.
Drop the mic. Now I got to
talk yeah.
again. All right.
We'll
yeah.
plug the mic back in.
I don't have a lot of plugs, but I would say everybody tune into the show Problematic on Comedy Central Tuesday nights. I hope
hell
that
yeah.
they get more episodes.
I'm going to wait. Is it? It's out already, right?
It's out already, but I'm not currently writing on it. And
okay.
I hope that if they get more episodes.
Which episode are you on?
Well, I wrote on. No, I wrote on all of it just leading up
okay.
to, but, you know, I'm not.
Yeah.
They're still going.
Currently
they're
going.
Production.
Yeah.
Sure. But I haven't been there. And I'm hoping that they get more episodes and I can come back, or that they get more episodes even if I don't come back, because it's a great show and it deserves to be on the air. Yeah.
Watch Problematic. Shout out.
And we never got into the New York show, but I'm not dying to, and we can, but it's called Comedy Knockout. It's on True TV. It's a funny show featuring a lot of funny comedians, and I don't know when these episodes will air, but it was a blast to write on, and I'd love to do more of that too at some point if that could happen.
Hey, cool. Keep an eye out. Check it out.
Comedy Knockout. Great episode.
Cool.
Great episodes. This we shot 16 of them in 2 weeks. And if when you see Kyle Kinane on there and he has an awesome Jew joke, I wrote that.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. You heard it here first.
Another Red Line regular, Kyle Kinane.
Yeah, actually.
You had Kyle on.
No.
Inadvertently.
It was us. And we're like, is that Kyle Kinane over there? Oh, he should be a guest, but we didn't want
to
bump.
You didn't
no, but
oh, he would have. He would have loved to.
I was just talking.
I
talked to him afterwards, and I was like,
like,
"Oh yeah, I was thinking about going to like see if you'd go on the mic, but I didn't want to bother you."
And
then
he was like,
"Yeah,
you should have." Yeah.
He was like, "Well, I'll be around."
Yeah. That was a good impression on you. It wasn't a bad compliment.
I gotta say, I saw, is it named Brooks Whelan?
Yeah, Brooks.
I saw him at Best Fish Taco do a whole set, and the joke was that Kyle Kinane was supposed to be there, but he wasn't there, so he did a set as Kyle Kinane. It was one of like the best like sets I've seen in a while.
Oh, cool! I would like to see that.
It was just like so ridiculous.
Send me a link.
Yeah, you heard it here first. I'll send you a link. But it was just so ridiculous. It was funny.
Shout out to Brooks Whelan. Shout out to Kyle Kinane.
Yeah, we'll see. All
right, guys.
Thanks again. Come on.
To Cypher Diaz.
Nastrovia.
Look it up. Figure out what it means.
All right.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really,
yeah, man,
I hope
thanks.
It was good.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It was good.
Shout out Red Line.
Shout out.
Yeah, Red Line.
Come on, ITV. Come on, ITV. You got your problems, I've got my podcast. Seems and breathe.
Y-T-S.